What's going on, successors? Welcome to another episode of Speak Your Success in the Morning. Today is January 9th, 2026, and I'm so glad and grateful that you all could be with us. All right, so y'all, if this is your first time tapping in, welcome to Speak Your Success. All right, here we're going to cover a few things. We always hit on these things. We hit you with a little bit of empowerment, all right? Give you some entertainment, and always we got to educate the people. So that's what you always can expect here from our show. I'm your host, Jonathan Jones, and today you're in for a great show. We got a little bit of sports, got a little bit of highlights, and I got a couple of questions I want to propose to you. Okay, got a couple of questions I want to propose to you, and we're going to get to that just a second, in just a minute. But first things first, we always like to discuss what we ate for dinner last night before we get this show kicked off and before we get it moving and grooving. Do I have any fans out there of Kava? Do I have any of my fans out there that rock with Kava in the morning? Not in the morning. That rock with Kava, and you know, you go and you get your goat bowl, or you know, you might get the vegetarian option, different things like that. If that's you, right? If that's you, last night we had a phenomenal situation. All right. So my wife, she's really great with coordinating meals and taking whatever we have and then making it into something. And the presentation is always, always there. So what my wife made last night was she put a little bit of lettuce in the bowl, a little bit of rice in the bowl. And then we chopped up these fried chicken breast patties. And then we blended up some lentils, and then she put some seasoning there with some spice and with some beets that she's marinated, and that she, you know, she sweetened them and added a little bit of vinegar. And then that was the bowl, and that was for dinner last night. So y'all, shout out to my wife, because it was really good. Like, it was really good because we had lentils before and the lentils didn't taste like anything at all. And I mean nothing. Okay. Because what we tried to do was we tried to take the lentils and make like flatbread, and it turned out flatbread, but it wasn't the best that we felt that it could have been. But she, you know, she repurposed that, she remixed that thing, and hey, last night was off the chain. Okay, last night was definitely pretty good, definitely pretty tasty. So yeah, that's what we had for dinner last night over here on this side, and it wasn't too filling, right? Because I don't know about you, but when I eat, sometimes I can find myself going to get that full feeling to where I feel almost bloated. I'm like, oh, you got to roll me out of here, to where I'm not the best that I could be. But ultimately, after eating that, the thing I really enjoyed was that I didn't feel bloated. I still felt light. I was full. And it held me for like a couple of hours. And I'm like, oh, wow, okay, I can go to bed on this. So that was a great feeling to have as well. Okay, so now, y'all, what I'm really excited about, what we've been doing here, and we've been shifting up some things and been shaking some things when it comes to Straight from the Source. And today for our Straight from the Source segment, I want to play this clip. And this clip is from Cece Winans when she was interviewed on with the Perry's podcast with Preston Perry and Jackie Hill Perry. And it was one of those things I always wondered about. Like, if you're a celebrity, where can you go to where, like, you can just get the word, right? To where you're not necessarily a celebrity in the church house, but you're just going to get the word. So I want to play this clip, and we're going to come right back and break it down a little bit here on Straight from the Source.
Cece Winans, the singer there. I was just Cece. Sit down and hush up. They didn't treat us like we were stars.
Yeah. Mm.
And a lot of people don't want to submit somewhere because people really get to know you.
Yeah.
Not just what you do. So having the balance is very important, because if the enemy don't get you one way, he'll get you another way.
All right. So that's the first part of that clip. And now what I want to get into is this text here in Romans. And the text reads, every person, and this is Romans chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. And it reads, every person is to be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. All right. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. You might say, well, John, what is this text even saying? What are you saying? What is the breakdown here? So ultimately, she's letting us know that at her church home, she is just Cece, right? I'm not a celebrity. I'm somebody who fears the Lord, and I'm somebody who is looking to get into and looking to grow, right? So, you know, we're trying to, you know, this is somewhere where I submit, right? Which we're all called to do. We're all called, if you're a member, right? Well, if you're a believer in Christ, we're all called to submit. And why are we called to submit? This allows us now to have somebody who is over us, our local body who is over us. Why? This creates accountability. In addition to this creating accountability, now we're submitting to somebody other than ourselves, right? So now there is an expectation. There is a requirement, right? So you can't just go in church and do church how you want to do it. No. There's standards and there's other people who are over you operating in this way. Now I want to play the second half of this clip, and I really want to get into this as well. And they were asking Cece, how does that work, right? You're a celebrity. How does that work in your church?
Dynamic work. It's like, oh, I'm going to go to Cece Winer's church. How does creating boundaries when people come to your church?
So
now,
a lot of people come, they'll hear that it's your church and they want to take pictures. I'm like, no, this is not where I take pictures. Mm. I'm glad you came. But I came all the way from, I didn't know you were coming all the way from there.
How was I supposed to know?
I didn't know that. Yeah. I'm here for church and this is who I am here, you know? So I have to tell a lot of people no, because again, I fear the Lord. I'm not going to be in the church and y'all taking pictures. It's not my concert. It's not that type of thing.
Not that type of thing. Okay. So here's the deal. The question that I have for you, the question that I have for me, the question that I have for us, well, let me put it like this. So for me, I was also one of those people who sometimes I would take a step back and I would look and I was like, oh, these people, I'm sure, get a certain level of celebration that everybody else isn't getting, right? Because they have celebrity status. But Cece is telling us the opposite. And I listened to the full interview and she also goes on to say that her son is actually the pastor. And this interview is phenomenal. And I would encourage everybody to go watch it. It's with the Perrys and it featuring Cece Winans. But hearing her say, like, she tells a story of her son and what the work that God did in her life, in his life, and hearing her say that my son is my pastor. I submit to that house. I submit to that body. When I show up, I'm serving. You want to take a picture? I'm sorry, I'm not doing that here. That's a different level of honor and respect. And even what she said of fearing the Lord, saying that I'm going to respect the house. I'm not here. If you want to take pictures or if you want to go to the concert or if you want to hear me sing, well, we can do that in those places. But while I'm here, just allow me to worship, right? Don't taint the body of worship and don't taint the location because you're trying to get a picture, right? So, man, shout out to Cece Winans and shout out to the Perrys for that interview and asking those questions, because I always personally wondered myself, like, how does that work, right? You know, you're a celebrity, or, you know, you have notoriety and people have seen you online in different places and now they want to take pictures, they want to go here, they want to go there. And this is when we need to understand, like, to truly respect people's personal boundaries, right? Just respect their boundaries in the house, in the body, right? We're called to be the body of Christ and we're brothers and sisters. And imagine if you began to take pictures and imagine what that would do and how that could taint the house, right? So family, that's been straight from the source. We came today from Romans chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. And I just wanted to bring that to you and also just ask and propose the question to you. Have you made the decision as of yet to submit to a local body? Have you made the decision as of yet to submit to being under someone's discipleship. These are things that are necessary. These are things that are essential for us to grow as believers, because there's accountability there. People get to see you, the good, the bad, the ugly, the indifferent, the stuff that you want to hide from people, and the stuff you want nobody else to see. They're going to see it here. So why should we withhold that? We shouldn't. Because now is the time that if we say we want to grow as believers and we say we want to grow as followers of Christ, well, this is the way we'll grow. Family, that's been Straight From The Source. Make sure you subscribe to our channel on YouTube at Speak Your Success Media. And be sure to tap in so you don't miss any episodes. We're going to take a quick commercial break and be right back with more Speak Your Success in the morning after this. Are you a new or budding entrepreneur looking to set your business up for success? Profit Mode is here to help you navigate your entrepreneurial journey with expert education and services. From tax planning and bookkeeping to selecting the right business structure, Profit Mode has you covered. They'll even educate you on how to properly set up your business for building credit so you can grow with confidence. Profit Mode's mission is to provide you with the tools and guidance you need to establish a solid foundation for your business. Whether you're just getting started or you're ready to take the next step, we're here to support your goals. Let Profit Mode help you turn that entrepreneurial dream into a reality with the knowledge and services to back it up. Your success starts with the right foundation. Contact Profit Mode today to get started. Do you want to feel confident? All right, family. Welcome back to Speak Your Success in the Morning. We're currently 19 minutes after the hour. And family, as always, like we love to show love and shout you all out. If you're rocking with us on YouTube, be sure to drop something in the comments so we can give you a good morning. We can give you a shout. We can show some love. We can even show a little bit of support, right? And also want to let you all know, didn't do this and haven't done this lately, but if you're somebody who has been looking to start a podcast, roll out a platform, and really roll into something new in 2026, you've been saying you want to start the podcast, you've been saying you want more people to get to know what you have to offer and, you know, get to know and see what your experience is, go to getpaidwithpodcasting.com. That's the only platform that will allow you to learn everything that you need to know about getting your podcast started and getting your podcast rolling and really help you elevate. So go to getpaidwithpodcasting.com. We would love to help support you in getting your podcast up and running and also learn how to monetize that thing. All right, family. So be sure to tap in there, and we look forward to serving and supporting you. Family, we got some interesting stuff today that I want to get into. So today is January 9th, right? Does anybody know what special happened on January 9th? Any guesses in the comments? Any guesses? Drop something down below if you're aware and you know what happened on January 9th. If you don't, I'm about to inform you here in 2.5 seconds, all right? John, what happened on January 9th? Well, here we go. What happened on January 9th is that today is y'all are gonna laugh at this. Okay, so today is known as I can't even say it without laughing. This is so funny. Okay. Okay, stop, John. Be serious. Man, today is known as the No Pants Subway Ride Day. The No Pants Subway Ride. John, what in the world is... So look, there was a guy named Charlie Todd from Improv Everywhere back in 2002. And his idea was simple. It was to confuse and hopefully amuse like some bystanders being on the subway. It started out with 7 male participants all boarding a subway cart at different stops, right? And they would be dressed and decked out all their winter gear and got their hats and got everything head to toe, got the boots on, all that. But the catch was they didn't have any pants on. And there was hidden cameras getting video footage, and other passengers was looked and they'd be confused, like, what is going on? Like, it's cold out here. Y'all don't have on no pants. And this is when they would break out into laughter. And this was a lighthearted prank that gained popularity because, like I said, it started with 7 people. And then the following year, it got to 30 people. And this even included women. Every year began to grow and grow and grow. So now people would, you know, begin to enter the subway cart at different stops, and they'd be nonchalant about it. And then when they'd be asked, like, why are you pantsless? Like, what are you doing? then their response will be, ah, I forgot him. I forgot him. You know, and people would see everything from, you know, SpongeBob type boxers to even see funny quotes with no pants on doesn't mean no fun. So a lot of people found it funny, but some people actually did not. Okay. And then over the years, law enforcement got involved, unfortunately. So in 2006, 8 people were handcuffed in New York. So no pantsless subway cart rides. You can take that. You can take that dare if you want to. But ultimately, the charges were dropped on those individuals that got arrested. But at the end of the day, hey, you know, you can prank at your own risk, I'll say. Prank at your own risk. But please, y'all, be safe out there, okay? Be safe out there. Something else that happened in January 9th, 2007. John, what else happened January 9th, 2007? Well, Steve Jobs, he introduced the first generation iPhone. How far have we come from the first generation iPhone? January 9th, 2007. Okay. From there, now we're at iPhone, I believe, like 16. Yeah. Crazy. And this was him introducing the iPhone that really revolutionized the game. So it was introduced when he was speaking at Macworld and they were out in San Francisco and everything like that. But then later months, in June, the actual phone was released. But y'all, this was us getting to see what it would look like with an iPod combined with a phone, combined with internet, and allowing us to have a multi-touch screen. And we all know what else happened. We also began to see BlackBerry began to sizzle out, okay? Because all of us with the, you know, being able to scroll. Oh, yeah, I like the mouse scroll on the BlackBerry. But what if we just eliminate that completely? What if we eliminate the keyboard completely? And then there was iPhone. So, man, shout out to Steve Jobs. Shout out to the iPhone. And that's what we began to see as time progressed. So, man, hey, Steve Jobs, man, kudos to you. Much respect. Thank you for creating the iPhone, sir. Yeah. Well deserved, man. Well deserved. So we're going to keep the show rolling. We're going to keep the show moving. And there's one other topic I wanted to talk about. It's been trending. You might have been seeing, you might have seen people with these on. You might not have seen people with these on, actually. But it's something that's a craze. And y'all, these right here. John. What are those, right? What are those? These are carbon-plated running shoes, okay? John, why would anybody need carbon-plated running shoes? That's a great question. And they don't just look funny for show, right? There's a purpose and a method behind them. And these shoes are trendy, and they're actually revolutionizing the racing and run game, okay? How are they doing that? Well, they with their enhanced energy return and efficiency, they're best for race days, all right, due to their high cost and lower durability. So they're good for about 150 to 300 miles and potentially for injury if overused, with top models like Nike, Adidas, and Hoka really leading the market. So I'm curious to hear y'all's thoughts. Like, drop something down in the comments. Let me know, like, are these hot or are they not? I really need to know. Like, I want to know your thought and I want to know your opinion, because for me personally, you know, I walk around and I wear Hokas and people have their thoughts and their feelings about the Hokas that I wear, but I enjoy them and I appreciate them. But like, what are y'all's thoughts on these bad boys here? Right? Because they're one thing why they're really good and really beneficial. Like I said, they give you a performance boost. So that plate at the bottom of the shoe, right? it's combined with super foam, so it creates like a spring-like effect. So as you're running, you know, they kind of propel you forward, and it helps you improve moving and grooving. Also, record breaking, they're associated with numerous world records, making them highly sought after for faster times, right? If you're a runner, one thing that you always want is a faster time. because it allows you just to stay in better shape, allows you to compete with yourself, allows you just to really push in that way. So I want to hear y'all's thoughts. I want to hear your thoughts. I want to feel your opinions. Like, are you rocking these or are you not? Just drop something down in the comments. I want to hear from you. Like, if you're like, yeah, John, I'm all 40s or nah, that's not it, John. That's not it at all. But either way, I want to hear your thoughts. I want to hear your feelings. I want to hear your opinions just on these particular shoes. And we're gonna get ready to take a quick commercial break. But when we come back, we got Speaker Success Sports. We're going to dive into some of the scores from last night. And you'll be surprised by some of this. But stay tuned. Hit that subscribe button if you have not for more Speaker Success in the morning after this. Do you want to feel confident in your skin every day? Introducing Skin Rituals, a luxury home-based skin studio that specializes in hyperpigmentation, acne, and personalized treatments for every skin type. Owned by solo esthetician and registered nurse, Courtney Durham, Skin Rituals is all about curating facial treatments designed just for you. Hydrate, brighten, nourish, and soothe your skin with expert care and cutting-edge techniques that promote natural healing. Whether you're looking for a relaxing facial or a transformative chemical peel, Skin Rituals offers results-driven treatment tailored to your needs. With over 7 years of experience, Courtney's goal is to help you safely achieve the healthy skin that you deserve. At Skin Rituals, we believe that taking care of your skin is an investment in your confidence. Book your appointment today and leave every session feeling grateful for the choice that you made to take care of yourself. Skin Rituals, because your skin deserves the very best. All right, family, welcome back to Speak Your Success in the Morning. We're currently 29 minutes after the hour. And like I was saying, we're about to get ready to dive into some sports action. Let's go. Let's go. Let's get it. Speak Your Success Sports coming to you live, coming to you local. So last night, man, first and foremost, what we want to talk about is Miami, number 10 Miami, beating number 6 Ole Miss 31-27 in the college football playoff Fiesta Bowl semifinal. Miami is now moving on with a shot at the national title. One thing I want to bring up here is that with Lane Kiffin, former Ole Miss head coach, now has transitioned to LSU. So now LSU can go ahead and cut off that little bonus right there. They can cut that bonus off because LSU was agreeing to pay Lane Kiffin for each game that his Ole Miss team won since the AD at Ole Miss was like, no, Lane, you got to get out of here. We don't want you here no more. You got to move around. Okay. So, wow. Okay. So LSU, hey, y'all can get back to patting the checkbook there. So y'all should be good. Also, college basketball last night, NCAA college basketball, and talking about some of those scores. So first and foremost, the NCAA men. Okay, so number 12, Michigan State taking down Northwestern 76-66. All right, and this was Big Ten play, and it's going to allow Michigan State now to move on to 14-2. And shout out to Michigan State. Shout out to Tom Izzo. And, you know, we've seen him continue to share what he shared about how he feels about former NBA drafted players, maybe not having played in games, but he like, nah. They need to stay in the G League. Y'all are grown. Y'all need to get out of here. Y'all need to move on. Y'all need to move forward. We're done with that. Okay. And we might play that clip a little bit later. Just maybe. Breaking that down. Anyway, Campbell, 86 to Hampton, 72. Okay. Campbell defeated Hampton and with DJ Smith scoring 26 points. So that's NCAA men's basketball. And let's go to women's. Women's, Maryland, 88. Dominating Rutgers 41 points. Okay. So that's number 8. Maryland's women's basketball program smashed them with season high 16 three pointers. Okay. They were showing that they have the range. You understand me? And now I want to transition to NBA. And we have an NBA announcement as well after this. But Dallas Mavericks, what's up? Y'all took the L to Utah Jazz 116-114. The Jazz were on a losing skid, but they snapped it with the Dallas Mavericks. And with Lauri Markkanen scoring 33 points, he said, on my watch, we got to end this losing streak. This ain't it, okay? This ain't it, and I'm not rocking. Atlanta Hawks 117 over the New Orleans Pelicans 100. As the Hawks are rolling in the new era after the Trae Young trade. Okay, we see you, Atlanta. We see you. Toronto 97 to the Charlotte Hornets 96. Emmanuel quickly hitting a buzzer-beating three-point bucket to knock out the Hornets. And then lastly but not least, we got the Timberwolves 131 to 122. Okay, and one announcement I'm going to make right here, just real quick. Man, shout out to Ant-Man. Shout out to Ant-Man. The Timberwolves, Anthony Edwards becomes the third youngest player to score 10,000 points. Okay, so Anthony Edwards reaching 10,000 career points with Minnesota after he switched a 13-foot fadeaway jumper baseline. Okay, I see you with the MJ nod. Midway through the fourth quarter against Cleveland late Thursday night. So Edwards is 24 years old and 156 days and was beaten to the mark just by LeBron James, who was 23 years old and 59 days, and Kevin Durant, who was 24 years old and 33 days. Edwards is one of seven players who to have hit 10,000 points before age 25. Who else is in that mix? Kobe Bryant, Luka Doncic, Tracy McGrady, and Carmelo Anthony are also in that number. That is amazing. That's an amazing nod. And here's what Edwards actually had to say after the game. He said, "To be honest, it's cool, but I know I've got a lot more. I got a lot more to go. So it's really nothing for real." That sounds like something that Ant-Man would say. Man, shout out to him. He said, I'm kind of sick that I got in front of Kobe. I wish I would have waited like 100 days or something. But yeah, it's all good. One thing I can appreciate about Anthony Edwards, he's going to say what he feels and just say what he thinks. And yes, sometimes it's good and sometimes it's respectable. Sometimes it's not. But he's always just going to say what he feels and say what he thinks. And he respects the game, right? He respects those who came before him. And, you know, he just really has a true admiration for the game. And just like you said, you know, I wish I would have waited a couple of days so I wouldn't have beat out, you know, getting there before Kobe. But man, shout out to Ant-Man and much respect for him, man. So 10,000 points, that's a lot of buckets, y'all. That's a lot of shots. That's a lot of everything, okay? That is a lot of everything, point blank period. But y'all, I hope you've been enjoying the show today. We're currently 35 minutes after the hour. I'm going to roll into just a little more about sports after this because I want to share my thoughts. Like I was talking about Tom Izzo and what he's saying about players from getting drafted in the NBA and different things like that. So we're going to come right back, but I'm going to pull this clip of Jay Billis talking about what's going on. And we're going to be right back with more Speaker Success in the Morning after this. Looking for timeless pieces that make a statement? Discover the Jewelry Department, where elegance meets craftsmanship. Owned by Miguel Contreras and located at 13505 Mumford Place, Suite 103 in Dallas, the Jewelry Department is your destination for stunning, one-of-a-kind pieces designed to elevate your style. From classic designs to modern trends, we offer a curated selection that reflects sophistication and artistry. Because we believe your jewelry should be just as unique as you are. Visit us today at the Jewelry Department, where every piece tells a story. And let us help you find the perfect piece that speaks to yours. The Jewelry Department, elevating your look with elegance and style. Find us at 13505 Mumford Place, Suite 103 in Dallas. All right, family, welcome back to Speak Your Success in the Morning, 36 minutes after the hour. Now, like I was saying, I want to get into and I want to roll this clip really quick because it's been a lot of talk, been a lot of conversation, just sharing and speaking about what should be happening with NBA players and how, if they've been drafted, they shouldn't be able to come back to play and compete in college. So let's go ahead and get into it. And when I roll this clip, y'all, I want to also hear your thoughts, right? I want y'all to comment in the comments, like, is this something that is accurate? Is this something that you're for? Or even let's put it like this, if you were somebody and you had a young man who, you know, instantly or recently just got recruited to a college, and maybe this young man is like, man, I'm looking forward to playing, in the NBA. But then, well, they got drafted to the NBA, excuse me. And then they're trying to go back and compete in the college because maybe their NBA career wasn't what they expected. Like, I'm sure I could assume that that has been the case for multiple individuals. And that's why, like, this conversation is really coming up more than, I guess, more than it typically would in the past, because this is new information and this is a new thing. So now the question becomes, well, since this is a new thing, do we, like, are we for it? Are we against it? Like, what are the true thoughts around it? And, you know, like I said, a lot of circulation happening, a lot of different people feel the way that they feel. They might be for it, might be against it, but either way, like, it's coming at us either way, y'all. So let's go ahead and get ready to roll into this clip. And then I encourage y'all, drop something down in the comments. No, drop something just below the video, because this is something that has been happening. And if the NCAA doesn't do something about it, it's going to be something that continues to happen. And people are going to have their thoughts, their feelings, and everything else about it. But at the end of the day, that's just where we are. So let's go ahead and get ready to get into this clip right here.
About James Naji, a 6'11", 24-year-old player from Nigeria who's been through the NBA draft process. He was drafted number 31 in that draft in the second round, but never played an NBA game, never signed an NBA contract. He's played in some NBA summer league games, but he's been playing overseas in Spain, and he just enrolled at Baylor as a mid-season transfer. He's never been enrolled in college as a full-time student before. And a lot of coaches have come out saying this is not a good thing. One thing I think the coaches are missing out, they just don't know the rules. This is not unusual in that a mid-season transfer, this has happened a lot before, and the NCAA rules allow it.
Okay, so right there, what Jay Billis is doing, he's shining light on something that has not been said just yet, or I haven't heard it just said just yet. Yes, coaches can be mad. Yes, coaches can be upset. Yes, coaches can be frustrated. But at the end of the day, this still falls within the guidelines of the NCAA rules and legislations. And of course, if it still falls inside the guidelines of the NCAA rules and regulations, then they can do it. It's kind of like playing Uno, and like, y'all can't put a draw two on top of a draw two and this and that. Is it in the Uno rule book? Well, then it can be done. Let's listen to some more of the clip.
This has happened a lot before, and the NCAA rules allow it. If James Naji had signed an NBA contract, that would be different. But you can play professional basketball, both in the United States and overseas, and play on a professional team as long as the money you take is essentially your expenses. So this idea that somehow LeBron James can retire from the Lakers and play for Ohio State, that's not within the rule structure. Look, if you don't want a player that has played professionally on a professional team in Europe or on a professional team in the United States like James Naji, then don't recruit him.
There's something worth being said right there as well. I love how he brought in the dynamic of, okay, LeBron, like somebody who's done what LeBron has done, right? He's played and competed at the highest level, and, you know, he's been in the NBA for 20 plus years. Then, yeah, you can't do that, right? That doesn't even make sense. Just like LeBron came back and played in the G League for a second to get his bearings back. But he already played and competed in the NBA, so he is irrelevant here. But at the same time, if players have played overseas, they've been paid, but it's covered expenses, then what's the issue? They should be able to come back and play in the NCAA. Keep talking to us, Jay.
On a professional team in the United States like James Naji, then don't recruit him. What a lot of these coaches are saying is we don't want to play against him. And that's not something that I'm good with. I don't agree with that. The NCAA used to have a rule. It was called the year in residence rule. So when you transferred, you had to sit out a year before you were eligible. The reasoning was you had to get used to your new school and take time to get used to your school. which really made no sense that a transfer that already had college experience needed to sit out while freshmen who had no college experience were eligible to play right away. And so they punted on the rule and came up with the transfer portal.
I remember this. I remember, because it's the same thing that happened in high school. But I remember this, right? When people would transfer, you got to sit out a year. I didn't know that it was the year in residency rule. Like, you're sitting down to get acclimated to, you know, the new school and the way that they do things. But that makes perfect sense, Jay. If they've already been college students transferring, that they don't need to get they know what's required. They know what the expectations are and different things like that. But him saying they punting the rule and bringing out the transfer portal, y'all, there are so many student athletes in the transfer portal. I'm gonna get the exact number in just a second, but there are so many students in the transfer portal. It is ridiculous. And I saw another coach go on to say, we'll see which guys play. We'll see which young ladies play. Because people are transferring, or they're hopping in the transfer portal, and they don't actually have a place to go just yet. Are we making it make sense just yet? Talk to us, Jay.
Transfer portal. The solution to that is simple. Sign players to multi-year contracts and include buyouts in those contracts, and then enforce those contracts. I understand the complaints that coaches have, and I share some of those sentiments. Not all, but some. What I find contradictory is coaches will talk about loyalty and going through adversity with regard to the transfer issue, but largely the coaches and the ADs and administrators and presidents remain silent when football coaches, to give an example, will leave their team as it's going to the college football playoff and go to another member institution, taking their staffs with them. Nobody's talking about loyalty there. Again.
Oh, my. Wow. Okay, Jay Billis, man. Jay Billis, one thing Jay Billis is going to do, he's going to bring the truth. He's going to bring the whole truth and nothing but the absolute truth. So, y'all, that's it right there. Like, really breaking it down and really getting into it. Like, one, the exact number of students in the transfer portal, it's ranged, right, from over 3,700 to 4,500 Division I players that entered within the first day or so of the condensed January 2 to January 16th window. So there's still about almost like a week left for players to sign to new institutions and different things like that. But historically, the number of players has grown significantly from recent years, right? Over 11,000 total across divisions through 2023 through 2024. Okay. So this is, so the cycle continues to grow and continues to just shift in this landscape. And why are so many? Why are so many transfers? Well, the condensed window and revised rules encourages faster decisions, leading to a flood of entries at the start. Coaching changes and NIL roster turnovers from coaching changes and name, image, and likeness opportunity are driving players to seek new opportunities, right? This amateur free agency, the portal has become a chaotic, fast-paced market for players seeking better situations, playing time, and potential financial benefits. Y'all, this is a mess, okay? For some people, it is going to be of great benefit. For some players, they're going to find a home. It's going to work out great. But the fact of the matter is, for the majority, it won't be what they think it is or what they want it to be. Point blank and period. What are your thoughts on the transfer portal? Go ahead, drop something down in the comments. I would love to hear your thoughts. I would love to hear your feedback. But most importantly, family, like, if you know somebody who is considering transferring, ask them why. If somebody is currently playing and they currently are in a spot to where they have substantial play time, they have a great situation, they're going to get a great degree, like, really grill them. Why are you transferring? Why do you want to transfer? Are you not happy with the coach? Granted, if the coach leaves and you sign to be there with that coach, I can actually understand that. Okay, I can understand that. And if you leave and they continue to be with that coach, great. But please just make sure that at the end of your time competing, at the end of your time at college, at the end of your time wherever, make sure that you're getting a degree out of it. You're getting, yeah, okay, if you leave for money, make sure you get some bread, but then make sure you learn how to invest that bread. Make sure you learn what to do with that bread. Make sure that you actually have things in place, in concrete, in contract form, with an attorney representing you, so that you're not jumping over here. Somebody told you you're going to get $6 million. They say, well, hey, we'll give you $2 million. No. Just get your stuff lined up. Get your paperwork together and make sure that you got what you need as you're getting ready to transfer and move on and shift in this next phase and place of your life. All right, family. So that's going to wrap us up here for Speaking Success in the Morning today. Went down in a little bit rabbit hole on sports, but I wanted to share that clip of Jay Billis because he's been talking good and really been shining some insight where I think it needs to be shown. So family, make sure if you're not subscribed and tapped in, make sure you subscribe to Speak Your Success Media here on YouTube. And also, if you enjoy the audio experience, then just type in Speak Your Success in the Morning wherever you get your podcast, and you can tap in with us there. All right, family. So until next time, speak your success, believe in your greatness, and continue to create the life and business of your dreams. Why should you and why would you leave any other way?